The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
How do you do that? That's incredible. That's really fast. Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. In fact, there's so much we want to talk about today. It might be not only the next step, but the next and next next steps, so to speak. I wish I could speak fast like Susie. I wish I could think fast. This podcast is being brought to you as part of the expanding vision of the Inissues mission and is proudly presented to you by the good folks at Apostles.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Oh, it is so good to have you with us today, whether you're walking, running, or you're taking a next step today. Like I said, there's so much to talk about, but first of all, we survived. We survived. Southern California was hit by an incredible storm. No rain, no water, but winds. We call these the Santa Ana winds out here in Southern California. I don't know if it applies right now. I think it does. Usually it's accompanied by warm winds. Last night was cold, and it was about 100 mile an hour winds, they told us, out in the area. Now, here's the most bizarre thing. I mean, like, we're waiting all night for this tree to fall on our house. I mean, I was scared. Like, this is what's going to happen. Yes, yes, Father Voskin gets scared, too, of these things. I shouldn't, but I do. I mean, you're hearing, like, the wind is blowing like something I've never heard. It's like even whistling through the chimney, you know, like it's a, imagine like a flute player, you know, how he has to, like, push the air across the opening on the flute. Well, the same thing. Imagine a giant, the chimney is that opening, you know, and sure enough, the wind was going right across that chimney opening, and we had this giant bass flute playing in our house. I mean, it was like so loud, the wind. And all night long, we have this giant tree right outside of our bedroom. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to fall. This is going to come down. Now, here's the bizarre thing. You wake up in the morning, and you turn on the news to see how you fared through this storm, you know? And what do you see? The first picture, this was really bizarre. You see pictures of your street. I mean, they're showing literally right down the street from us. And they're saying the worst place to be hit by this storm was East Pasadena. And they're showing these places that we go to every day. You know, the local Shell station, which had toppled down, the restaurant, the signs on the streets, the signal lights. And Super Burrito, too. Super Burrito, man. It was bent out of shape. And so basically, I got a chance to know what a hurricane is like, or should we say a tornado. I think the most famous tornado that we all could relate to is the one in Wizard of Oz, where everything spins around. No, 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 not with witches and people in little rockers floating around. But you see that it's pretty immense. It could lift you up and take you elsewhere. Well, that's what we felt like. That's what it was like. And we got through it. Thank God we're through it, and I think that there's going to be another storm tonight. I'm telling you all this as a preface. If I stumble on my words, it just means I haven't gotten enough sleep. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to give you a next step today because there's so much to talk about. This one was unexpected. The storm, to tell you the truth, I had no idea it was going to be like this. They said the Santa Ana winds are kicking up, but I had no clue. Usually we get the Santa Anas, and like I said, they're a little bit warmer. And, you know, it's actually, you look forward to the Santa Ana winds living in Los Angeles or in Los Angeles County. You look forward to them because it cleans out the air. You know, especially during the summer, you've got this this awful air that just settles there. It's smog. It's, you have to breathe it day in and day out. And when they tell you the Santa Anas are coming, oh, you are ready for that breath of fresh air. I mean, as destructive as it may sound, you know, it blows things around. But, you know, you look forward to that clean air. So I wasn't expecting this. And in fact, this morning when we got up and we had to, you know, kind of like put things together, backyard was just a mess. There was pieces and fragments of the roof. I made a major mistake. We're looking up at our roof and trying to think, okay, what are these pieces of the roof? It doesn't look like ours, but why are they all in our backyard? So maybe about an hour later, we were still cleaning up outside. The neighbor comes over and she tells us that, oh, part of my roof fell off. And I picked up a piece and I said, oh, this must be from your house. She goes, yes, it was from the back area. I made the big mistake of saying, oh, good. Well, yeah, I mean, it was good that it wasn't our house, but... Oh, it wasn't too bright of me to say that in front of her. I mean, she just lost her roof. Of course, you know, one of the blessings we have is we have great neighbors. They're just wonderful people. And certainly she didn't take offense to it, or at least didn't show me that she took offense. But it made me think, oh, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. You know, because at times like that, you're kind of just like looking for a little bit of good news. And when you do find it, you go, oh, okay, good, you know. But it's at somebody else's expense. That's not too good. It's not too cool to do things like that. And then maybe that's where... It's the segue of what we're going to be talking about today, because a lot of stuff happened. First of all, we finished the Thanksgiving feast 1 week ago. I was with you and we did a very special podcast about Thanksgiving. I want to thank all of you who wrote in, who shared your comments with me, and some of them I hope in the next few weeks. Really, honestly, I have such good intentions when we start off the next step every week that I want to share with you some of the feedback that we've received, because they are encouraging. They are inspiring as well. And I do appreciate so much of the feedback that we received after last week's special Thanksgiving edition. And I hope that we could put it together, compile it together, and get it out next week as part of like a feedback session. We haven't done that in a long, long time here on the next step. We did have Thanksgiving. We had a Compass broadcast that was done remotely with Linda out in Texas. I happened to go out to Phoenix. We had a telethon that took place, and we saw the Muppets. Okay, so where do we start? Let's start off with the Muppets. Okay, fantastic movie. Except I think that I am the only person in the world who has made that connection that this is just a remake of the Blues Brothers. Yeah. I mean, like, what was the premise of the Blues Brothers? Right? They get out of jail and they realize that the school is gone, you know, and they go, the Penguin tells them that, hey, they've got to come up with the money. Otherwise, they lose the school. And so the Penguin, Mother Superior, or she was a sister in the convent, you know? So you got Belushi and Aykroyd out there trying to put the band back together. Well, hey, what was the Muppets about? They're going to lose the studio, and the only way to do it is to put the band back together. And so, you know, when you see Belushi and Aykroyd going to each of the artists and trying to get them to join the band, I mean, basically it's the same... Well, that's enough. I won't tell you anymore, because I thought it was a fantastic movie, The Muppets. Do see it. It is a family movie, and more than your kids, you will enjoy it. If you've grown up with The Muppets, there are so many small little innuendos that you got to pay attention to that will make you happy. Just the climate of the entire movie, the way they're presented, and just to see those remarkable faces and the creativity of Jim Henson continuing today. I mean, it's one thing to preserve it, but to see it continued and being offered to the new generation, a next generation. I gotta tell you, it's beautiful, and it makes you laugh, it makes you happy. And tell me, do we all need to laugh a little more right now? Definitely. So definitely high on my list, and it's beautiful to see the enduring power of the Muppets, that, you know, it does pass through generations. Now, along the same lines, just a few minutes ago, while I was trying to get into position and we're getting ready to do today's next step, I'm walking past, and I passed one of the rooms at Giant Epostle Studios, and I overhear some music that I hadn't heard in years, at least 30 years. And it was very familiar, catchy tune. And I walked back, and sure enough, it was on TV. They were showing a clip from the musical Godspell. And apparently there's a new version of it out on Broadway, and they were demonstrating. It was really beautiful. And so I just had to stop for a few minutes and watch this as they sang one of the songs. And this is a musical that's back in the 70s, 30, 40 years ago, shall we say? Yeah, about 40 years ago, came out. I wasn't a big fan of it, but I did enjoy the music. And they had recreated it. And sure enough, it caught my attention today, as it will catch the attention of many people. And the same question came on about the Muppets, because since I've watched the Muppets this past weekend, I've been asking, especially some of the little kids that have been with us that have watched it. Like last night, even a young girl at the Bible study, I said, what did you think of the Muppets? You know, could you relate? She says, well, I knew who the Muppets were, you know. And it has this power to go beyond generations, especially those goofy faces, you know, goofy in the good sense, right? Well, they asked the performer today. They had sang one of the songs from Godspell, the musical. If I remember right, it was a musical based on the Gospel of St. Matthew. And I'll have to do some research on that. But, it, you know, it brought to music some of the talents that were out there and the message, of course. And this is, I would say, a few years after Jesus Christ Superstar had just come out as a rock opera. Back in 1970, I remember Jesus Christ Superstar coming out, and Godspell was a few years later. I remember because my sister was playing in a band, and they were playing some of this back at the school. So it kind of filters in, and it's back in your memory. You know, there's like those little spots in your head that remember all this kind of stuff. And so here it is 30, 40 years later. You pass by a room, you hear the song, and you go, wow, that's it. And they were talking, and they started interviewing afterwards some of the people, some of the cast members. And sure enough, one of the questions is, what is the enduring power of this song, of this message? What is it that brings people back to this song or to the entire musical some 30, 40 years later? And would you believe they talked for a few minutes? Not one person said the message of Christianity. Would you believe that? They talked about how good the tunes were, how good the direction was, how good the author of the music was, how catchy the tunes are. Not one person said, because there is a message here, a message of good cheer, a message of faith, a message of hope. And it's I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. What is it about Christianity that gets people scared to mention Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it for a moment. Okay, here's Christ talking about love, talking about hope, giving us a message of peace and telling us that we can attain that peace in our lives and we can attain it in the world. You know, last week I spoke quite a bit about politics, and the more I thought about it since last week, I think that, you know, we always do a disservice. We always talk about science and religion coexisting. Science and religion coexist because they're basically talking about different things. They're approaching life in different manners. They will always coexist. Religion and politics will never coexist. Politics doesn't belong with religion. It just doesn't. And I felt that this week. You know, we got one of the local congressmen called up, said, hey, we hear you're having a dance. We'd like to come and talk. Yeah, sure. I'm going to create an opportunity for you at my church and with my church people for you to get votes. Hey, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know what you believe in. At least tell me about what your social policies are. I mean, politics, What's their purpose? Well, you heard me go on about that last week. Last week I did have some fun with that. But now we come to this. What is it about religion? What is it about Christianity that we're so scared to talk about? Well, in a few minutes, I'm going to share with you a very distasteful episode that took place in my life this past week. Distasteful, but it gave me an opportunity to think about a lot of things. Now, I'm not talking about the telethon. Did you see the Armenia Fun telethon? Thanksgiving Day? I mean, talk about distasteful, yeah. I don't know about our church leadership either. You know, giving themselves up for things like this, getting up and becoming just these markers who recite prayers and say a few words, but the heart isn't there. You know, it's just so sad. It's just a call without a purpose. And sure, we applaud that $12 million were raised. $12 million for our country. Okay, now, here's a little exercise you can do. If you're living in the Western world, if you're living in America, you're living in Europe, go outside your house. Count off how many houses. Just count off how many houses it would take to get up to $12 million. What, from your house to the end of the block? And we're talking about an entire country, the country of Armenia, and we're applauding that we're giving $12 million? Well, because the heart's not there. We haven't been able to get this message out. I mean, if Christianity has a message, it's a message of sharing, a message of love, of caring. And that message is not being transmitted to the people. Instead, it's all about the rituals, about standing up there, looking good, what you're wearing, what you're presenting, who you're standing with, which translates into politics. And I'm telling you, religion and politics just do not mix. Look at the coin. Who's on the coin? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. And don't mix them. Don't mix them. But we do. We do. Sadly, we do. And we look for answers in politics when all along the real answers are in our hearts. They're in our hearts where love is, where love can blossom and can become the answer. Today I'm going to share with you some stuff that was just so distasteful. I'm debating how I'm going to present it on this next step. I'm going to try my best. We start off each show with a song of the day. How about something from Godspell? This is back from the 1970s. I hope you enjoy it. And from what I understand, it is being revived in a Broadway musical. If we could find the link, we'll put it up on today's show notes. Here is from Godspell.
You are the light of the world.
You are the light of the world.
But if that light's under a bushel, it's lost something kind of crucial.
You've got to stay guided to be the light of the world.
You are the salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth.
But if that salt has lost its flavor, it ain't got much in its favor.
You cannot have more.
Ain't much good without a wick.
You've got to live right, you've be the light of the
dated, but it does put a smile on your face, doesn't it? This is from the original Godspell soundtrack, some 35. I don't know the exact time of it, but while we were listening to that, Susie did tell me that she found the site to the new Broadway version. I would love to go see it. Hopefully get a chance to go out there and see it. If not, wait till it comes out our way. But this is a must-see for me, at least, and wanted to just share a song from the original. I liked it. It was good, especially that guitar work. Okay, we are going to talk about, well, not just music. We're going to be talking about a means of music. And I shared with you, I'm having a hard time in being able to present this to you in a way that is tasteful, tactful. But this last weekend, I had an opportunity to listen and be plugged into satellite radio, specifically Sirius XM. Now, I've heard about it. In fact, a few years ago, we had a car that came with 3 or 4 months of the service free, and we availed ourselves to it. It was nice. It was great to have it in there. And when it came time to actually subscribe, we felt that, what was the purpose of it? Of course, we're not in a rural area. We're living in the Los Angeles area, and of course, you have all kinds of radio accessible to you on the AM and FM bands, and just about every turn of the knob, and you're at a different station. So you have quite a bit of variety if it's necessary. Plus, you know how involved we are at Apostle on the internet. So in our studios and wherever we're working and everything, we have internet radio, whether it's Live 365, Pandora. You've got all of this coming in, and you could custom tailor the kind of music that you want. On top of that, we have MP3 players. We have iPods. Basically, bottom line is when the time came to subscribe, I felt like, you know, if we were a little bit more remote, if we were in the rural areas, I'd maybe opt for it, but not at this time. I don't need this. So this last weekend, I had a chance to go out to Phoenix. Now, those of you who have been following Next Step, you know that one of my weaknesses is the desert. And sure enough, an opportunity was there to go out and share some time with my son out in Arizona. He was going back for a presentation at Arizona State. And so I took advantage of that and drove out with him and then drove back. Now, the Phoenix to Los Angeles highway is basically Interstate 10. Starts in Santa Monica and it ends up Pacific Ocean, Santa Monica Beach, and it ends up in the Atlantic Ocean. So it goes clear across the United States. And one of the towns that it goes in through is Phoenix. So I'm on this I-10 freeway and not much activity. Of course, it's the desert. And at the same time, you're happy about that not much activity situation, right? You know, that's one of my favorite places, is to be out in the desert. When you look at the rich tradition that we have from the desert fathers, whether it's their prayers or their spiritual life, you understand that, well, the desert, that openness, it's so conducive to really putting together your feelings, your emotions. The spirit really lives out in the desert. It's no wonder that Jesus was led to the wilderness to do his contemplation before he started his ministry. After his baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the desert. And there is something to be said about the environment of the desert. And so it is a very special time for me. And if you followed the Next Step, you know I've even done a few podcasts right from the floor of the desert. It is so special and sacred to me. And so here I am driving on this open highway, and I had rented a car that happened to have satellite radio in it. And I'm going through, and there were some great, great tunes. Now, I've got to tell you, satellite radio, if you're not, you probably know more about it than I did. And I had a chance for 6 hours to listen and scroll through a bunch of stations, a lot of music stations. And it's basically they put it together. Again, my preference would be I would rather put together my playlist. But here you are in the desert. And, you know, it's time to let the music come into the background as your thoughts start formulating and you start thinking about what the purpose is, why you're out there and what you're doing and just enjoying the beautiful scenery around you, the oneness that you have with that nature, as you're barreling through 80 miles an hour, of course. Okay, so here I am, and I'm going through these different channels, and I gotta tell you, I'm kind of intrigued, too. There's over like 100 different stations on here. A lot of music stations, a lot of music. There's only one classical channel, and there was one Opera Channel, which is enough for me. The Opera Channel, I listened to it, and that was great. But they have all kinds of music channel. They have, like, rock and roll, classical, vinyl classical, which was where I was at, the 60s, 70s, 80s, by genre, by decade. And then they have, like, The Bridge, things like this. And they have some stations that I probably just skim through, you know, like the rap stations. And I said, okay, that's good enough for me. You know, it's there. You acknowledge it. Then I got into some of the talk shows. Great, great news programs. They had, like, Fox was over there just bashing Obama. They had a station called Left, which was bashing everything before Obama. And I'm listening more and more, and all of a sudden I get to a few stations that are, well, what can I say? They're just kind of rude. Starts off with the Howard station. There was, like, a Howard 100 and Howard 101. And this is Howard Stern. I remember this guy from, like, 30 years ago when I had just started off my ministry and some of the kids were listening to him and everything. And it was just very vulgar, just out in the open. But now, along with that vulgarity, he has no censorship because he's on satellite radio. So along with the vulgarity, he's able to just throw out anything he wants. And basically, it was the same shtick. It was the same exact thing that he was doing 30 years ago. He's doing right now. And I guess he's got an audience and he's making money. And, you know, you kind of feel bad. You feel bad for a person like that that really has no way of expressing himself beyond that vulgarity. And then you feel like, well, that's what he's doing and he's doing it good. It got him what he wants and he's basking up treasures here on earth. Good for him. He's doing it. He's living out the dream. Did you hear my sermon last Sunday? Did you hear about the rich fool? Did you hear it? Anyway. That was Howard Stern. Now, one more station beyond it. Another station. Starting to listen. What am I hearing? You're hearing two women talking about sexual exploration and becoming very graphic in the terms that they use. Now, Howard Stern, I'd just gotten used to that for a few minutes. I listened in for a few minutes and then it's like kind of stupid. You know, you can't even say it's vulgar. It's just kind of stupid. It's like nitwitty, you know? It's like numbskulledness.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Like your skull has to be numb to listen to that stuff, okay? But this one, all of a sudden, here's two women describing in detail their sexual fantasies with inanimate objects, with animal parts. Incredible. I'm just sitting there and just amazed that this stuff is coming into my car. It's actually being brought into my car. Sure, I'm making the conscious decision of listening to it, but you're saying this is sick. And you got to say at the same time, but why am I listening to it? Just, you're almost dumbfounded. You can't believe that this is really going on. To the point that I listened for, I would say, maybe about 3 or 4 minutes, to the point that I got sick. I literally got sick. And it reminded me of a scene out of Taxi Driver, which I never understood until this weekend. You remember the Robert De Niro character, the taxi driver himself, where he goes and he sees all the sickness around him, and he's just disgusted by it. And you kind of wonder, okay, you know, this is awful, when you could start relating to the taxi driver. Something's wrong. And hopefully it's not you. So maybe it's the situation that's brought you to this point and you quickly change the channel. But here's what I wanted to share with you today. Why is this stuff out there? I mean, who is this catering to? What possible reason is there for this kind of programming? And the reason I'm saying this is we just went through the Occupy movement here in Los Angeles. And I know throughout the United States, as well as in Europe and different countries, the Occupy movement is still in force. But I'm saying we went through it because this last Monday, they actually went in at Los Angeles in front of City Hall and they started evacuating people, telling people that that was enough and they had to even arrest some of the people. Now, we've talked about the Occupy movement in the past. I'm not talking about that, but here's what I wanted you to check out. The conversation about the Occupy movement, when you listen to what's being said. When you listen to talk radio, what are they talking about? They're talking about the vulgarity factor there, okay? They're saying, who are these people? They're out there, and they're talking about how they're urinating in bottles. They're talking about how they're defecating on the street corners, how it's not comfortable. There's no sanitation and everything. So now, all of a sudden, the national conversation, rather than talking about our monetary situation, rather than talking about the economy, is now shifting into, well, look at these people. These people are just a bunch of people that don't have no respect for life. And I'm wondering, what is it that brought our conversation to such level? Because sure enough, 40, 50 years ago, when the civil rights movement was taking place here in America, you had sit-ins, you had marches that were taking place, you had people who had the same bodily functions, right? You had people that were participating in that who had to urinate, who had to defecate. And how come there was no conversation about what these people were up to? But why is it that we're consumed by the dirt and the filth that's being left by these people? And it goes back to what I'm listening to on the radio, too. What is it that is allowing us to be so open with ourselves? Not in a good sense to say, hey, I'm free and I could talk about everything, but what is it serving? What purpose is it serving? Are you going to sit here and tell me, well, I am more open about it and so I could discuss these things? So I shouldn't feel inhibited? I mean, or is it really just a sickness? Is it a disease? Are we at the point where we're looking at our downfall? That we've become so liberal in our outlook that we've forgotten just common sense and good taste. I mean, the stuff that I was hearing on that station, albeit for a few minutes, and I have to admit that maybe about 2 hours later in the drive, I went back to the station just to see if it was a fluke. And it wasn't. They were still there talking about it. And basically, I guess there's an audience for this. Okay, now, yeah, you can argue. You can say, well, there's an audience for you. You know, this is a free country. I'm not talking about freedoms. Did you catch last week's Compass with Linda Zadoyan? I had a chance to be with her. She interviewed me for Compass. I believe it was episode number 10. It's on there. And we got to talking about the situation that of good taste. You know, we talked about like dress codes in churches. Sure, obviously, we're not concerned about dressing for church. It's better to get somebody into church. It doesn't matter, as Linda said, whether they're wearing a burqa or whether they're nude in when they're praying. Well, obviously, it doesn't matter. Obviously, God sent us naked into this world. And if we wanted to pray at that point, I doubt that it would make a difference to God. But it has to make a difference to us, doesn't it? We have to have some respect for the life that we live in this world. We have to have some respect for common sense, for what we call decency, without being scared to call it decency, without being scared that, okay, all of a sudden I'm being prudish in my outlook. No, there's just common sense things. There are certain things that are just distasteful. Do you remember last year we were talking about the mosque at Ground Zero? There was a national conversation. Should a mosque be erected at Ground Zero? And, you know, you had civil libertarians get up. You had people talking about in defense of the mosque and talking about, well, it is their right. If they have the money, they should be able to purchase the land. They should be able to construct a mosque at Ground Zero. But nobody was talking about just common sense, common decency. Ground Zero, this is a place where 3,000 Americans lost their life at the hand of Islam. Okay, now you're going to build a shrine to Islam right there? And I had to step back. I had to take a look at myself. And I know how furious I am in my personal own life at the fact that, yes, my country was taken away. My country, Armenia, was taken away. My grandparents were killed. An entire generation, 1.5 million people were killed. And how incensed I am every time that one of our churches converted into a mosque. It's basically putting salt on the wounds. Is that right? No, it's not. Because at some point, we need to feel comfortable about who we are without the fear of being labeled as something that we are not. We are Christian. And a Christian is not somebody who's an idiot. A Christian is not Puritan in his outlook. Can listen to rock and roll music. A Christian can understand himself to be a child of this universe. A Christian can understand him or herself to be united with other people in many dimensions. But a Christian also has to be somebody who is sensitive to the needs of others, to the feelings of others, who has to be reacting to life around him or herself in a positive manner. That will be just like what this song said, just like what we heard the song, "You are the salt of the earth." Well, where did those words come from? They came from Jesus Christ. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." But if that salt has lost its flavor, for good, what good is it? How will its saltiness be restored? And to tell you the truth, this is where we're at right now. We've lost that saltiness. We've forgotten how to flavor life in a beautiful way. That's why when I talked about the Muppets, I was so excited. It made me happy. You know, I know it's not the end of the world. I know that there's still disease in the world. I still know that there's problem. But you know what? For a few moments, we realize that we need to laugh in the world. We need to smile in the world. We need to feel good about silliness, about being fun, about being childlike. That's what the movie did for me, okay? Not everything has to be laced with insanity, with vulgarity, with crudeness, with innuendos that defy human logic. I was sitting around the other day at a coffee shop, and I was doing my work and couldn't help but overhear a conversation between a man and a woman, just literally a few seats, few steps from me. And it was interesting because it started off as a very carefree, casual conversation. And in the midst of that conversation, all of a sudden, the man threw out a swear word. And it was orchestrated, you could tell. Because what it did is it opened the door. It was just enough of a swear word to see what the reaction would be on the other side. And when he didn't get a reaction, he continued. And I noticed it continued in this conversation. In the conversation, he began more and more freely to use more and more swear words, to the point that it was just a very vulgar conversation at the end, talking about this and that in very descriptive, demonstrative method. Okay, now, think about that for a moment, right? You open it up, you open the channel just a little, and you test the waters, you see what's out there. Well, if it's okay, you can get away with a little bit more. And I think that's what's happened right now. We've tested it and we've gotten away with a little bit more, to the point that we have not only obscenity, but we have vulgarity beyond logic, beyond good taste. And we shouldn't be scared to call things good taste or not. There are things that are absolutely in good taste. There are things that are just plain right out not in good taste. And once you can make that call, I'm not saying the differentiation, because I think we all know it, right? You all know it. And I, like I said, I'm having a difficult time because there is a part of me that would love to tell you what they talked about. But there's another part of me that just says, I can't. I can't even get myself to talk about these things. And okay, you want to call me a prude, you want to call me some old-fashioned, that's fine. But then I'm also thinking that, hey, we are on a show that's talking about some real life things. And I know I'm not the only one out there. The real life situation is not that vulgarity. The real life situation is that day in and day out, we have real issues in our lives. And we need to start addressing those real issues in real terms. We need to have a little bit of fun. We need to bring in, call in some common sense. Not everything can be about sex. Not everything can be about vulgarity. Not everything can be about how of pushing the limits. Most of the things that we do are within the limits. And once we realize this, we realize that religion really helps us. It is not to be religious, to be Christian is not to be a freak. It's to take the principles of Jesus Christ, in other words, the ideal that love is the highest command given to us, and then applying it in our lives. I remember several years ago, I had a niece who asked me, had never been churched in her life. And at some family function, she came up to me and she asked about Jesus and said, what is Christianity? What is Jesus? And I started talking and, engaging her in a dialogue, in a conversation, and she thanked me at the end. And I always felt bad about that conversation, because really, what can you say in a conversation? And I started feeling that in the car. You know, as I'm driving through the desert, I'm listening to some of these stations. You're listening to the Catholic channel, and then there was some religious channel. People calling in and asking some very basic questions. You know, do you believe in the virgin birth? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, what does that mean? How could he be God and Son of God? And some very simple, elementary questions that we have answered many times in Sunday school, but it made me think about what we're doing here at Armadoxy. Because if they asked me those questions, I couldn't answer it quickly. And basically Sunday school and all around us is what they're doing, is that they're giving these small little answers, soundbite answers, that make you feel good, that give you an answer immediately. But are they really the truth? Are they really what we're searching for and what we need? For instance, the concept of heaven and hell. Think about that for a moment. I mean, really, if you go into it, you've got to start thinking about, what does it mean to be punished? What does it mean to live a good life? What does it mean to be rewarded? And in that reward, how can anybody be rewarded when we have faults, when nobody is perfect? How can anybody be condemned when nobody is perfect? You have some very serious issues that scholars, that the saints of the church have pondered, have written, not only a paper on, have written volumes on. And then you get a question on a talk show, and within 5 minutes, you're supposed to give an answer. And so I thought about the heaven and hell answer. Yeah, it's just so much easier to say, well, heaven is for good people and hell is for bad people. Because you don't have to discuss anything beyond that, right? It's up to the listener. Okay, well, I know what good is. I know what bad is. Okay, so basically after this life, when I close my eyes, I'll be able to go to one of these places based on what I've done in life. It answers the question, right? But that's not what we're teaching over here. That's not what Armadoxy is about. That's not what the Armenian Orthodox tradition has ever been about. It's about a process. It's about a walk. Walk with Christ. And everyone who walks with Christ gets satisfied, because you realize that you're not walking alone, that you have the teacher of the teachers, that you have the infinite incarnation of love walking with you. And so think about that for a moment as you read the scriptures. When Christ is walking with his disciples, when he's walking with anyone, what are they getting? They're getting fulfilled. They're getting every answer that they want. They are being transformed. They are turning into complete individuals who are able to take that message out and implement it. That's what Armadoxy does for us. It invites us into a dialogue for us to really ponder the important questions of life, not to just be spoon-fed, not to just say, okay, here it is. You know, here's the radio show. Call up. What do you feel about it? And then you get an answer. Is Jesus really the Son of God? Yes. Okay, thank you. Can't do that. You can't do that. And so listening to these shows on that open highway just gave me this idea that, you know, what we are doing over here through this podcast is really very unique. And we are setting the tone for where not only Armenian Orthodoxy is, but where Christianity should be. The dialogue of what Christianity is all about today. It is not just these one-time answers. It is not the fear of being called a prude. It is not going against common sense. It is very realistic. That's why I said earlier, you know, science and religion can coexist. They do coexist. I've never had a problem with it. I watched this beautiful, beautiful documentary last night. It was a rerun on Discovery Channel of the universe, how the universe works. And they're showing you the gases. And they came to this beautiful statement, which I'm going to develop. Stardust. It is the building blocks of life. As stars explode, there is stardust left. And everything that we know in the universe today is found in that stardust. I love this because, you know, I got to tell you honestly, this is a little secret. I've been wanting to call our organization Stardust. But I haven't been able to because a few people, especially this, I'm talking about the Inner Shoes organization, wanted to call it Stardust because in Las Vegas, apparently, several years ago, there was a casino called Stardust. And so many people relate to that. So when you say Stardust, they think of this gambling casino. But I think it is so beautiful then to hear it on the Discovery Channel. They just said it straight out. Stardust, it is the building block of life. And the idea that each of us, maybe in one hand, we have stardust from one nova, and in the other hand, we have stardust from another nova, and it all comes together in this being that we are. I mean, isn't this what God is all about? Isn't that what we praise and we glorify? Isn't that the mystery of all mysteries, that we are here, that we have life, that we are breathing and part of this universe, that we are connected to one another, and we are in this together? I mean, isn't this what it's all about? I have no problem between science and religion. I do have a problem between religion and politics. Because politics is basically everything that Jesus said don't be in religion. Jesus said, keep it clean. And politics says, you don't need to keep it clean. You can get everything by twisting around, by manipulating and getting here or there. Jesus says, no, you can get everything that you need in this life by keeping it clean, by being pure, by believing, by having that faith, by having that strength in your heart. That was my ride between Phoenix and Los Angeles. I wanted to share it with you. It's kind of this overall theme that, yes, you listen to the satellite radio, you're out there and you're listening, you're out in the wilderness, so to speak, and you're being hit by different kinds of understandings, different people from different genres, from different walks of life. And each of them confessing and believing that what they're doing is right, obviously. Of course they're thinking that they're right. Yeah, you know, that's why they're doing it. But as a Christian, you need to be listening to that. You need to understand that there is something higher than all of this. It is not just the straight answer. That there is a purpose in life. And that purpose is not to be vulgar. It's not to go against your common sense and your common beliefs. I remember one little thing that was said to me many years ago. Is it something that you would do or say in front of your grandmother? If you so feel that, you know, grandma would approve, then do it. That made sense for us back in my time. Right now, you've got grandmothers who are more wild than their kids, right? So it doesn't work anymore. So we go back to the basic standard. You know what's right. You know what's good. And we need to start looking around us and really latching on to this. I'm still in for the free market economy, that these kind of shows that I expressed to you with their vulgarities will continue to be there so long as there's an audience. But we as Christians need to be able to stand up and say that, hey, you know what? We're not freaks. It just doesn't work for us. And so, you know what? I won't condemn you, but I won't listen to you either. And I believe that if we start doing that, if enough of us start saying we're not going to be doing, our voice will be heard. But it means commitment. It means not being scared. Again, I'm very cautious about this because I've fought against the religious right in my past. And I still do not believe that there is a moral majority. I don't believe in that kind of morality, that it's legislated. I really don't believe in it. I believe that there's so much more that we can gain by being in a free society where thought is free. But let's include the Christian message in that free thought without being afraid to say that this is the message of Jesus Christ. That's what comes in freedom. And that message is one that is enduring. It is one that keeps us going for all of eternity. But for right now, if you want to keep this message going for a little bit, here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net, or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced The Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to The Next Step with Father Vosgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that important reminder. And I guess many of you have figured out by now we don't have Ani with us today. She's skipping out on this week. She'll be back with us next week. But Susie's reminder is an important one, that, you know, epostle.net is such a simple idea. It's basically apostolic evangelism. I want to talk about what the apostles did. This coming Saturday happens to be the feast of St. Thaddeus and Bartholomew. The Armenian Orthodox Church is known as the Armenian Apostolic Church, because the apostles came to Armenia and brought with them this very unique message. The apostles were actual eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. They came into Armenia, they set up the church, and that is the continuation of the church that we serve today. And in fact, that church was a very socially active church. As you read in the book of Acts, you understand that the apostolic church was not a church about lights and bells and whistles, but it was about a church that was actually out there. And when we get together every Sunday and celebrate the Divine Liturgy, it's in that spirit that we gather together so that we can reach out, so that we find the energy, we find the courage. The courage that despite the flow of the world, we're able to stand up and say that love is something we are serving, that peace is our ultimate goal. You believe in this? It's easy. Get involved. Susie told you. Drop us a line. Send in a donation. Pray for us. Pass along the link. Biggest thing you can do, share us on your Facebook page, share us on a link to your friends and your family. Let people know that there's a new page today in Armenian Orthodoxy, and it's happening here. I want to invite you to get involved in all of our programming that takes place at epostle.net. Very easy to remember, apostolic evangelism for an electronic an expanding universe, right? So substitute that A with an E and you got epostle.net. And over there you'll find all of our programming. Monday mornings we have Bible study taking place in the Armenian language. On Tuesdays we've got Compass with Linda Zadoyan. Fantastic programming. You got to check that out. That comes out as a podcast. On Wednesday we have Questions in Faith, which is another streaming. Our Bible studies are streamed. Our podcast Next Step comes out on Thursdays. We have sermons from Glendale on Fridays. And then we're up with the Key publication. The Key is the newsletter of the St. Peter Armenian Church, which houses this incredible ministry, houses the Inner Shoes Mission, as well as the epostle.net. On top of that, this weekend, we are going to be walking. We're going to be walking in the Vahakan Setian 5K walk. And Team In Her Shoes, our prayers are with all of the walkers. Team In Her Shoes will be walking next September to fight off breast cancer. Need people to sponsor that from an early time. We'll get the word out now. But members of Team In Her Shoes will be at the Vahakan Setian walk in Beverly Hills, California. All kinds of things happening. Join us at the mothership inhisshoes.org. You'll find all this information. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. Follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Wow, all that stuff just to say that we love to stay connected with you. For the wonderful team who put today's podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and Ani, who promises to be back shortly, this is Father Vosgen saying join us again next week when we'll take